Hey everyone, husband here.
And I'm wife. If you've been listening to us, then you know we're all about reading the Bible and reacting to it on our first read-through. Cuss words, crying, laughing, and more.
We're passionate about creating a podcast that takes the sanctity out of the sacred text and simply stating it as we see it.
But we can't do it without your help. We're asking for your support to help us keep this podcast going.
There are two ways you can donate.
Text SACDIS, that's SACDIS, to 533-555 if you're in the U.S. with a one-time donation. Any amount helps.
Or if you'd rather start a sustaining membership, sign up on our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Membership levels start as low as $2 a month.
We are amazed and grateful for our fans that support us now, and you can become one too.
With your support, we can keep Sacrilegious Discourse alive and well for years to come.
So please donate today.
Text SACDIS to 533-555 if you're in the U.S.
Or sign up for our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
I'm husband.
And I'm wife.
Together we're reading the Bible for the very first time.
We grew up without religion and wanted to know what all the fuss was about.
Well, what have we learned so far?
That God is a dick. And apparently some people believe in talking donkeys?
We're not trying to pass ourselves off as experts.
Nope, we're just reading the Bible for the first time and giving our first take reaction.
If you'd like to join us in this venture, you might consider starting at episode 1.
Otherwise, jump in wherever you like.
Alright, let's go read the Bible.
Yeah, let's get to it. Husband!
Wife!
Do you know where the hell we are and how the hell we got here?
Well, we just got done reading Ezekiel chapter 4.
We sure as fuck did.
And in that chapter, Ezekiel was told by God to get a block of clay or something and build Jerusalem. So we were doing like arts and crafts time.
And making a miniature dollhouse?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then he had to get like a plate or something, or I don't know, some wall. He had to put up a wall between him and this clay Jerusalem, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And then God was like, and then now you're going to lay on your side for 390 days.
Right.
And stare at it. Mm-hmm. And you're going to use human, you know, shit to cook your food. And then, you know, Ezekiel was like, but I don't, that's against your laws.
And gross.
I don't want to do that. And then God was like, fine, you can use cow dung. Fine, but you're still lying there for 390 days.
Yeah.
Or more. Actually, it was more because he's going to add on the time for Judah on top of the time for Israel or whatever. So.
And you only get one bite of bread per day, basically.
And yeah. Like, and it's shitty bread, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shitty bread. And a bit of water.
All right. Anyway, that was the gist of Ezekiel chapter 4.
Yes.
Which means that today we're getting into
Ezekiel chapter 5.
All right, let's do this.
Okie dokie.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
All right, we are jumping into Ezekiel chapter 5.
Ezekiel.
Ezekiel, babe. Okay,
right.
So
yep.
God is talking.
Is he?
Okay, yeah.
He's talking to Ezekiel?
Mm-hmm. This is continuation from the last chapter where he was like, you know, cook your shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cook your shit on your shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On a cow
shit.
And I'm going to tell you some things.
Yeah.
Okay, so okay. Now right. That's where we are now.
Sure,
okay?
Yeah.
Now, son of man.
You mere human.
Yes, son of a bitch.
Yep.
Take a sharp sword and use it as a barber's razor to shave your head and your beard. I mean, wow. So,
not only is he lying on his side for a year and a half and mm-hmm. cooking his food over cow dung mm-hmm. and staring at a clay model of Jerusalem through a pan or something.
Mm-hmm.
And now he has to shave with a sword?
With a sword.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Now, we know what shaving represents, right? The baldness. It was a sign of mourning or of great disgrace.
Okay. Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And shaving like that was forbidden to a priest like Ezekiel.
Oh,
because I see. It was ordinarily, it meant the loss of priestly status and position.
Oh.
So,
okay.
You know. He's really given him what for, you know?
Or he's gone off the complete deep end.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, something's up.
Yeah, so he's telling him, shave all your shit.
Okay, yeah.
Then he says...
With a sword.
Then take a set of scales and divide up the hair. Listen. Listen, I'm going to tell you what he's going to do with the division.
Does he get to make a pillow out of one of them? Because that would be nice.
Almost.
Okay.
Almost. Right. Actually, kind of, but not really. Really.
Okay.
Kind of, but not really.
All right.
Okay.
Right,
yeah. You be the judge. Okay.
Right, yeah.
When the days of your siege come to an end, burn a third of the hair inside the city.
Okay.
Take a third and strike it with the sword all around the city and scatter a third to the wind. For I will pursue them with a drawn sword. So each third represents some of the people. Some of them are going to die in the city.
Got it.
By fire and famine and whatever.
Sure, yeah.
Some are going to get killed with a sword, and some are just going to be scattered to the winds every which way.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, here's where we get to maybe a pillow.
Sure.
But take a few hairs and tuck them away in the folds of your garment. Again, take a few of these and throw them into the fire and burn them up.
What? Okay.
The fire will spread from there to all Israel.
I see.
So he does get to sew a couple into his little coat thing, his yeah. little whatever he's wearing.
But then he just takes it. So he's going to take a couple, and that's the remnant, I guess.
Yes, exactly. Good job.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
but then he's also going to take a couple and throw in the fire, and that's going to spread to the rest of this stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like he's basically all his hair is representative of the people and what's going to happen to them.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
no, I got it.
So something else though, that's interesting is, I have to read this note because this is like kind of wowed me a little bit. Just in a like literary sense.
Can you imagine the smell that must have, you
know? Yes, actually I can because I did burn my hair accidentally
once. It does not smell good.
It smells horrendous. So me and this friend of mine, we were sitting in this restaurant, right? And it was like so quiet
yeah.
that when we talked to each other, like it sounded loud.
Right.
So we were both leaned across the table to each other, she and I.
To try to keep it a little quieter.
Yeah. So, yeah. you know, we could kind of be like, you know, keeping it between us and not like the staff of
right.
the,
yeah.
you know, restaurant.
Yeah.
And we smelled this horrendous smell and we were like, what the fuck is that? It was my fucking hair in the candle, in the fucking candle on the table. And I will never forget how horrible that smell. I mean, it was rotten.
Yeah.
Why? Why does it smell like that?
I don't know.
Just
because, I mean, maybe it's meant to smell like that. So that way, you know, when you're on fire,
right? Stop, drop and roll, babes. Yeah. I wasn't on fire, but my hair was burning.
Right.
And it was not good.
Yeah.
So I had to go get a trim the next day to even my hair out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not good. Don't do it.
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Okay. So listen to this. Isaiah prophesied over a century before this time.
Okay.
That Judah would be shaved by the razor of Assyria. That was in Isaiah chapter 7.
Okay.
So just from the literary circular way that that's written, I appreciate that. If this was a book, I would be like, oh, nice.
Okay.
Right? Like, nice callback.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is not high literature, so it's annoying.
Right. Yeah. And you know, again, I'll wait to hear the final word on when this was all written, much of the prophecy shit seems to have been written after the stuff has already happened.
Yeah.
So no, totally. I don't really take a lot of stock in it. But
no, I totally agree with you. I wanted to read that because it's like, oh, okay, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right. So that fire's going to spread, blah, blah, blah. Okay. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. This is Jerusalem, which I have set in the center of the nations with countries all around her. Yet in her wickedness, she has rebelled against my laws and decrees more than the nations and countries around her. She has rejected my laws.
I call bullshit on that because the countries around her, quote unquote, were sacrificing babies.
Okay, but here's the thing, and I'm not even a little bit trying to defend the sacrificing of babies.
Yeah.
What God is peeved about is not what they were up to or what they weren't up to.
Yeah.
They were worshiping their God as they were supposed to.
Right.
His people rejected him. That's what he's angry about.
Right.
Not the sacrificing of babies.
Again, I feel like if he would have just spoke up a couple of times here and there, other than sending this message through really unreliable fucking prophets, then it might have worked out a lot better for them, you know, deciding that God was real.
Right.
So I don't have a lot of empathy for God's plight here with regard to how he feels about the Israelites.
No, I totally agree with you. This kind of relates to the story of the prodigal son. Are you familiar with that story?
Yeah.
So it's the whole, but the good one was being good all the time. Why are you so happy that, you know, the one that was bad came home? This is kind of like the inverse of that in a way.
Sure.
But the people over there, they were doing what they were supposed to be doing. He wasn't mad at them. Those aren't his people. He doesn't give a fuck what they're doing.
They didn't know.
Yeah.
So
why would he care what other people are doing? Murdering babies, that's fine, whatever, do that.
I mean I guess that's fair-ish, but if
in canon, not in actual practice.
But like, we're talking about a God who hypothetically created all of the universe, all of the earth, all the people on it, all the things that live on it, everything.
Right.
And I still cannot wrap my head around why he only cares about this small group of people.
I cannot
either. It makes literally no sense to me.
No, I completely agree.
And it takes a lot of the believability out of the story. Like this doesn't track, man.
It doesn't make sense.
Right. Like just on a meta or on a you know macro scale.
Right.
It does not make sense.
Right.
This all powerful God is caring about, you know, 100,000 people.
Right.
Why?
Why does he care about them more than the rest of everybody else?
Right.
Like that, yeah, I don't get it either.
So that bothers me.
As well it should.
Yeah.
What bothers me is that God literally is pissed about his ego more than he's pissed about any babies anywhere being sacrificed to any God ever.
Right.
He don't even give a fuck about those babies.
Yeah.
He's pissed because his little pride, his wiener got stepped on.
Yeah, because his people aren't worshiping him hard enough or whatever.
Or at all. Yeah. He's sad. He's in his feels. Yeah,
fuck him.
Yeah, I agree. So he's talking about his precious people. She, his nation, has rejected my laws and has not followed my decrees. Wham, wham.
Yeah.
Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. You have been more unruly than the nations around you and have not followed my decrees or kept my laws. You have not even conformed to the standards of the nations around you.
Okay. Okay,
that's actually kind of a cool argument.
Right.
Because he's like, not only aren't you worshiping me, which is bad enough, but all these other little religions that you adopted, you're not even doing them right, you stupids.
Well, it sounds, I mean, like the way we've taken it is that they're kind of just like a mix mash of all the little localish gods. And they're just like, whichever one, you know, I don't care as long as it does the trick, you know.
Yep. This is fine.
They're right in the, like they've said even in this chapter, like they're right in the middle of all these different cultures, right? Mm-hmm. So obviously they're going to be influenced by these other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, it's natural to be influenced by surrounding cultures, you know?
Well, yeah, and it's kind of good. Like, it opens you up to learning about other ways.
Right,
and
right.
And other lifestyles and other virtues, and makes you, you know, question what you stand for and, you know, reaffirm maybe what you stand for or adopt a broader view.
Yeah.
So... And God doesn't want that. He wants you to remain only static.
Right.
And,
right.
you know,
well, and that could be part of their problem with regard to getting conquered and war things that are happening because, you know, there's a faction of the Israelites that wants them to be very closed down, right? Mm-hmm. That wants them to be very nationalistic and just within themselves.
Kind of like the Republicans today.
Right. And so maybe them not opening up to the other cultures was part of the problem as to why they were having all these warring issues.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. Like, you could look at that from that perspective and say, maybe they, you know, maybe they didn't reach out to these other cultures enough.
Right.
You know, instead of focusing on God, maybe they should have focused on these other people.
Yeah.
So.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself am against you, Jerusalem, you fuckers, and I will inflict punishment on you in the sight of the nations.
Right.
So he's like, not only am I going to stab you, my own people, because I'm pissed at you, I'm going to do it in such a way as that it's on the stage.
Right. And they'll get to see you and laugh at you and point at you. And
yeah. So you're going to die, but also be shamed.
Right.
Because as you're dying, shame is really what you're going to be worried about right. while you're starving to death and boiling your baby.
No, this is why God's an asshole, because this is really just him enjoying what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like, it, again, in canon, this God is enjoying the misery and pain that he's bringing to, quote unquote, his people.
I mean, that tracks, because the Christian Republican Party today, like, the thing that we say most about them is... the cruelty is the point.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that tracks. Their God is where they get this from. Well, the cruelty is the point.
And even today, I think that a lot of the Christian culture is based on a large amount of self-loathing.
Mm-hmm.
Like they are brought to God through self-loathing. They are driven to these ideas through self-loathing. And that was very prominent in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's...
I mean, these people are told, you're a sinner, you suck. Before you were ever born, you were already trash and garbage.
Right.
Like, you've been told from the day that you're born that you are trash.
It's a very abusive relationship that they have with this God.
With their religion.
And what do people who have been abused do? They abuse other people.
Mm-hmm. Hurt, you know? People.
They hurt people. Other people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the fact that we are dealing with what we deal with in the now is not really that surprising, in my opinion.
Right. That's why I said it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, I'm totally with you.
Yep.
Because of all of your detestable idols, I will do to you what I have never done before and will never do again. I would call bullshit.
Do you believe that?
No, because it's happening right fucking now, so bullshit.
Well, he kind of said the same thing after the fucking flood where he killed everybody.
Yeah.
I'm never going to... That's what the rainbow was about, right?
Well, no. He didn't say he would never kill in large quantities. No. He just said he would never do it via flood.
I know.
I'm just saying, like it's such a loophole.
You could have read it if you wanted to be, you know, if you wanted to believe in a gracious God, you could have read it to say that he's never going to do it again.
He would never kill his people again.
I could have interpreted it that way if I wanted to, right?
But
obviously he does kill people in large quantities again, so you can't read it that way if you want to believe.
Right.
But it's just,
He's like, I'll never flood you again, but I'll do other stuff. And then he's like, okay. I'll never flood you and I'll never make you like starve to death in your own city and boil your own children ever again. Right. I'll never do it again.
How many different scenarios do we have to come across before we're done with all the fucking killing you're going to do to us?
Right. Like, you're a dick, God. You're a dick. Yeah. You don't exist, but in this book, you're a dick. And therefore, your followers are dicks.
Yeah.
So thanks for that.
Right.
Therefore, in your midst, parents will eat their children and children will eat their parents.
Oh,
okay. I'm for that, if I'm being honest.
I mean, if it were up to me, whether we get eaten or we eat our children, I'd rather they eat us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
a good parent would hope.
It's good. It's not good any way around.
No, but a decent parent will hope that their child survives them.
Yeah.
Because
I'd just be like, knock me out first, man.
Yeah.
I don't want to be awake for that shit.
Right.
You know? Kill me quick.
Or how about like, okay, one of us is going to have to die to feed the other.
Right.
Like, turn around. I will off myself. You don't have to be part of it, but I want you to be able to survive another day.
Sure.
So that maybe help can come.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like,
your kids obviously have a lot more future ahead of them than the parents do. So,
well, you're supposed
it makes more sense.
You're supposed to want your children to have a better, longer, healthier, happier life than you did.
Right.
Like, each generation should want better for the next generation.
But again, they worship a God that is okay with letting them eat their children and vice versa.
Yeah.
So,
the values of these people and the values of that God, I just can't.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Whatever. I will inflict punishment on you, says God, and will scatter all your survivors to the winds. So, you know, just like the hares.
Yeah.
Therefore, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because you have defiled my sanctuary with all your vile images and detestable practices, I myself will shave you. I will not look on you with pity or spare you. A third of your people will die of the plague or perish by famine inside you. A third will fall by the sword outside your walls. And a third I will scatter to the winds and pursue with drawn sword.
Okay.
Then
he's going to get nice again.
Yeah. Okay. My anger will cease and my wrath against them will subside. Yay! Mm. And I will be avenged.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. After I kill, you know, the majority of you, I'll be happy then.
Can you imagine if it was okay to be like, you don't worship me enough, so I'm just going to kill you?
Yeah.
That's not okay. No.
Right?
No.
No.
We don't do that.
Right.
That's not good.
Murder isn't great, guys. Let's not.
No.
Yeah. And when I have spent my wrath on them, Jesus Christ, this language.
Yeah.
They will know that I, the Lord, have spoken in my zeal.
Mm. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is making me so angry and just like, what the fuck is wrong with you people that you believe this and you pray to this?
Ugh. Right. Yeah.
I will make you a ruin and a reproach among the nations around you in the sight of all who pass by. You will be a reproach and a taunt, a warning and an object of horror to the nations around you when I inflict punishment on you in anger and in wrath and with stinging rebuke. The Lord have spoken.
That little bit right there sounds a little bit more like the Jeremiah stuff that we were reading.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, there's a very normal,
I'ma getcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and not just Jeremiah, but Isaiah and whatever. Yeah.
Like, it's the I'ma getcha of it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. When I shoot at you with my deadly and destructive arrows of famine, I will shoot to destroy you.
I love how we had to describe just how deadly and destructive the arrows were.
Because
arrows wasn't enough.
Right.
But, you know.
Yeah. Okay. It was not just arrows, but deadly ones and destructive ones.
Right.
Yeah. I will bring more and more famine upon you and cut off your supply of food. I will send famine and wild beasts against you, and they will leave you childless. You know what this reminds me of? When we were watching the Benedict Cumberbatch version of Sherlock, And Moriarty looks at him and says, I'll burn you. I'll burn the heart out of you.
Right.
Right? Yeah. That's what God, like, God is that evil character.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm picturing Moriarty saying this.
Yeah.
There's a problem with that.
No, and there's, in my mind, I'm like, eventually we get to Jesus, right? and I'm really, really, like, based on my rudimentary understanding of what Jesus stands for, mm-hmm. I'm really struggling with how we get there from here.
Yeah.
You know, like, this just is not...
Like, how does Jesus not look at all of this and goes, I want nothing to do with that. Nope, I'm out.
Right, yeah.
Like, why did he not run away and be like, oh, no, I'm not that. I'm not son of that guy.
Right.
That guy's a dick.
Yeah, yeah.
Plague and bloodshed will sweep through you, and I will bring the sword against you. I, the Lord, have spoken. The end.
Has he now? He spoke. Mm-hmm. Okay.
He spoke.
I don't generally like it when he speaks.
No, because he's a dick.
He is very much a dick.
And he's mean.
Yes.
He's murdery and mean.
Yeah. The imagery that he said, like the imagery that goes on when he is speaking is so dark and just overwhelming with regard to how awful it is, you know?
Like, I was watching YouTube, reaction channel things, and this girl was reacting to TikToks of people with crazy exes.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And the crazy exes were saying some of this shit like, I hate you, I'm gonna kill you, I'm gonna get you. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm like, you sound like a crazy person, God.
Well, I think that this is honestly, like, this is the cause of a lot of the problems that we have in our society. Mm-hmm. This behavior is something that is just ingrained in one of the largest social structures we have, you know, which is religion. And so it's been made to be accepted as a way of operating, and especially when men are given they're next to God, right? Like, yeah. The men are in charge of the women. Mm-hmm. That's the way it's laid out through the Bible, through religion. Yeah. You know, like, that's not what progressives or we think or anything like that.
Right.
But that's through the Bible, and especially the more repressed Bible groups, mm-hmm. The man is definitely in charge of the woman, mm-hmm. right? So these behaviors are very much in line with how the OT God operates. It's all fire and brimstone. It's all, you know, awful shit.
I hate you. I'm gonna get back at you so hard.
Right.
You're gonna die forever and ever.
And then us as people who worship this God or whatever are supposed to just come back and be okay with it. Much like the wife who gets abused from their husband that is treating their wife the same way, mm-hmm. or the children or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's been societally accepted that that's an okay way to act for men because of this.
Right.
And this is one of the biggest reasons why I feel we have to say these things.
We have to read this book because we have to know what the fuck we're talking about when we say the Bible is influencing our culture and our laws in America. And it's fucking problematic.
Yeah.
And this is why atheists are pissed. Christians, you keep asking why we're so mad and why we're so up in the Bible all the time. This is why.
Right. It stands for some really just god-awful shit. Mm-hmm. And it's not okay.
Right.
You can decide that you're just spiritual or whatever. Like, that. Mm-hmm. That's fine, and I'll probably accept you on your level and be okay with who you are because you accept people and you're not a complete asshole. And I'm fine with that to an extent, mm-hmm. but it's still based on this same religion that is based on a fucking shitty ass God.
Right. I was reading in Reddit, people, there's like this subreddit about why do atheists read the Bible and why can't atheists be converted, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And like all of the answers were along the same line as, you know, well, if your heart is hardened, then of course the Bible looks horrible and full of gibberish. You can't get the message. And they're like, talking about how, you know, you have to understand it from the whole perspective, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they're not able to. And I'm like, you are justifying all of this.
Well, and I call bullshit on that because we have people that we know that listen to our podcast. I know of people that I've listened to in interviews. They were very, very enveloped in religion and feeling the God feels and all the things. Mm-hmm. And they fully believed and even came down on atheists, you mm-hmm. know, in their previous life before they converted over to an atheist.
By reading the Bible, something
caught them up, you know, something stopped them and made them do a little bit more research.
Right.
And that's how they became an atheist.
Right.
But they were in the same camp. Mm-hmm. They were in that same, you know, boat that a lot of people who are shitty towards us mm-hmm. are right now.
Right.
And you can't tell them that they don't know what that's like. They do. I've talked to them. I know them.
Right.
And you know, you and I, we don't know what it's like. We were never there. We were never fully
immersed in religion.
Right. Yeah. It was never a thing that we'd had, but we know people that for sure were. Mm-hmm. And they know exactly what it is to feel God's presence. And they know exactly what it is to be touched by God and all these things.
Yeah.
It's just that they stopped believing because they got tripped up, because there's a lot to get tripped up on.
Because rape and slavery and vengeance and murder and rape and cutting people up, dancing in their blood.
and if you let somebody stop telling you what to believe about the Bible and you try to learn it for yourself, you might actually end up closer to where we are than where you are now.
On top of feeling betrayed because you were tricked and lied to.
Sure. And I'm not even saying that you'll become an atheist.
Right.
We also know people that are very much not atheist, but have softened their view because they have chosen to research and learn about the Bible and Christianity and Judaism and all that.
Yeah.
So you have to be willing to not take someone's word that this is what this belief is.
Right.
And do the research yourself to get out of the cycle of shittiness.
Right.
And that's the only thing that's going to stop a lot of these behaviors that happen because of Christianity. Mostly it's Christianity at this point.
Yeah.
Judaism is a lot better with regard to understanding their flaws and doing research for the most part.
For the most part. And they're a lot more progressive for the most part.
For the most part.
Yeah.
So, it's the right-leaning Christian group that is in the United States that is the biggest problem. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, do you have anything else to add today? Or
I couldn't possibly.
Sorry, I know I went off on a little bit of a tangent there.
I think we both did.
Yeah, this angry God makes me angry.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to say it.
Because it's not justified. People justify it.
Yeah.
And that's part of the problem.
Right.
It's not just that this God feels like his anger is justifiable and that his actions based on that anger are justifiable. It's that people today justify it and use that same argument against other people. And it's not okay.
100%. So anyway, that was today. It was Ezekiel chapter 5.
Sure as fuck was.
And today's Friday. So that means that tomorrow we will be back with
Q&A Saturday.
And then I think we're well overdue for a Patreon episode. So we'll probably be getting into that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then I'll get the weekly wrap up out. And then we'll be back on Monday with
Ezekiel chapter 6.
All right. We'll see you guys then.
Bye.
Hey, wife, I guess that's the end?
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.